and whoever bought that gun, or somebody come in there looking for a gun, they'd sell it to them as a new gun, you see. Now, this, I can't prove that. This is what I've been told. And I saw an example, and it that seemed to bear it out one time, but I won't go into that.
I've heard similar stories from businesses in town that some businesses may give you a cheaper price, but they lack the service.
That's it. They don't get the service that the individuals like myself would do. You know, as I said, but what gets me, talking about that, there was some young kid came, bought a rifle in one day that he had bought somewhere else. And there was a little minor thing wrong with it, and he wanted me to fix it. So, well, I felt sorry for the kid, and I fixed it for him. It was a minor thing, a brand new gun, you know. But when I handed it to him, he didn't say anything. He just walked out the door. He didn't say, how much do I owe you, or thank you, even, or whatever, you see. I wasn't obligated to fix it because he'd bought it somewhere else. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
What do you miss about the shop?
Well, I miss, of course, a lot of the good customers. I'd miss, Charlie and I having our little picnic lunches together. We'd go get us one. We'd take turns buying the lunch. I'd buy one day, he'd buy the next. But it usually was pork and beans and bologna at Coca-Cola's. And we had such a great time. And I still, right to this day, I love the picnic-type stuff, you know. But Charlie and I, I've said this before, that bologna and cheese and the crackers and the beans and all that tastes better like that than it would at home, you see. It's more, and it's just the atmosphere that you're in, I think. I know what, there was a boy I was acquainted with at Fort Knox, and he'd been born in Kentucky, but he's raised in New Jersey. And one day, we went out for a ride, and about, I wanted to show him the countryside, Kentucky, you know. And we went down, it may have been Breckinridge County or somewhere down there, and we got thirsty and hungry, and we stopped at a little country store. And we went in, and I think we got the bologna and crackers and cheese and all that good stuff. And they had nail kegs all around the room, you know, empty nail kegs. And I got my sandwich and whatever, and I sat down on one of those nail kegs. And he thought, he was kind of embarrassed about this. And he thought that I shouldn't do that. And I said, well, what do you think they have those nail kegs sitting around for? That's the whole idea. So I think he saw through that, you know, that I was telling the truth. And he felt comfortable in.
Any thoughts on the building coming down?
Well, it's sad, but it can't hold back progress. And I really, we'd really missed it if Charlie had still been alive, you know. And I remember all the great times we had there. And Charlie and I, we were related. See, our grandmothers were sisters. And there's an amusing little thing I want to say. Charlie was about 7 years older than I. And we went down to one of the restaurants one day, the little fast food places. And we had just pulled up. And when there was somebody that Charlie knew came walking out the door, and he came over to Charlie, of course Charlie was driving, and was talking to Charlie, and he looked over and saw me. And as I said, there's 7 years difference in our ages. And that fella says, is that your son? Charlie didn't, he didn't care too much about somebody talking about his age, you know. But he didn't think it's funny, but I did. We had some great times, so I'll tell you.
Now, someone else you're akin to is Bill Walters.
Bill Walters, he's, well, his, Bill's dad is my mother's first cousin. Yeah, and so she was a Walters, you see.
So that makes you second cousins or something like that?
Somewhere
second, twice removed
third,
or something like that.
Maybe a second cousin 14 times removed. I don't know, really. I'm just carrying on.
Now, you have friendships with a couple other personalities from WIEL, Mike Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Buchanan.
Yeah. I see Mike every now and then.
Which one?
Michael Buchanan.
Right.
Mike likes to aggravate me and come down and try to squeeze me out or something. he won't give up, I'll tell you that. But there was something else I was going to mention. I forgot what it was, so it'll come back to me someday, maybe.
Now, he got out of radio and went to the post office in Louisville, correct?
Yes, he went to the post office. He spent a little time as a deputy marshal, U.S. Marshal, and then he went to work for the Postal Service. I'll tell you somebody else that was a good friend of mine and Charlie's was Hayes Burnett. He used to run Burnett's panel mart or whatever.
Right out there on 62 near the police station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's restaurants and whatever in that. I guess he owned all of that territory in there at one time.
Right. Wendy's is where his business was.
Yeah. Hayes was really good. He along with Charlie, helped me get started in the gun business. And I remember, you know, that famous chicken when it first came to Elizabethtown. He brought Charlie and ate some of that. And I thought, boy, that's some of the best chicken I ever ate other than what my mom would fry.
Is it Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Well, you said it. Yeah, right. wasn't going to give any free plugs. That's what it was. No further comment.
Okay. You always were. Do you think you were a shrewd businessman?
No. I wasn't much of a businessman. As I said, I did it for a hobby. And making money was secondary. I knew I had to make enough to pay my overhead, but that's outside of that. I like to make money, I understand. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't going to worry me if I didn't, because it was something I'd wanted to do all my life, and it was a hobby, and I enjoyed it.
So you were more of the sportsman's friend.
Well, some of them evidently didn't think so. But I tried to be. You know, I tried to treat them right, and it's like, what was it Abraham Lincoln supposedly said? You can fool, part of the people all the time, all the people part of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So that's the way it is with trying to please somebody. And no matter whether you're the governor or the president or no matter who, the greatest person in the world can't please everybody.
But the business was lucrative at one time in the
mid-70s. Then the demand changed. I like to sell hunting and hunting guns, you know, and then hot guns for defense. But there was a certain type of gun that came into demand. I didn't even want to carry it, and I won't elaborate too much on that. But it was the military types, and I thought it was a big mistake when they first imported these things. And some of these kids would come in there in their fatigues, young kids in fatigues.